On this track of the CD, we'll discuss how to power on your EasyLink 12, how to pair it with your iDevice, we'll talk about the EasyLink menu system, and the EasyLink's clipboard. However, before we go any further, it's probably a good idea to connect the EasyLink to the mains in order that it's got power while we're doing this, because it's very possible that there's not going to be a great deal of charge in the EasyLink when you first got it. So before you proceed with the rest of this chapter, can I suggest that you connect either the mains wall charger to the EasyLink at the rear connector on the right hand side, or alternatively connect it to a USB power source. That way you know that the EasyLink has got power going to it, and everything else we do in this chapter will work just fine. In order to charge the EasyLink fully, it'll probably take 4 or 5 hours. So, as I say, for the moment, just stick it on mains, and then the rest of this chapter you can work through without a glitch. So, now we've talked about the physical layouts of the EasyLink, and before you go any further, it's probably a good idea to really familiarise yourself with that, so you can quite quickly move to different buttons as we refer to them wandering through the rest of this user guide. Let's now power on the EasyLink and get it working with our iDevice. So I have my EasyLink in front of me here, and at the moment it's switched off and all the braille cells are up, and I can feel all 8 dots of the braille cells as if nothing's basically happening. There isn't a power button, in other words an on and off button, on the EasyLink. Instead, you turn it on and off using a combination of keys, just to reduce the amount of buttons on the thing and try to conserve space as much as possible. And the key combination that you use to turn on and to turn off the EasyLink is a K chord, so dots 1, 3 and the space bar. Now, by default, your EasyLink will beep when it turns on. But there are various different types of feedback that you can use, and once we get into talking about the options in the menu system of the EasyLink, I'll show you how to change the feedback options, because sometimes, especially if you're working in a quiet, private, discreet environment, those beeps may be a little bit of a nuisance. So we will talk about the different methods of feedback later. For the moment, so that we can get it working with our iDevice, let's do a K in the spacebar. And as you do that, the braille display will go blank for a little while. And then just about now, there we go, on the braille display, you'll see EL12 touch. So again, press a K chord, wait for about 3 seconds, the braille display will go blank. Then the cells will slowly become visible, and then it will beep, and it will say EL12 touch. And that's the point that you can actually start to do things with the iPhone. We'll talk about connectivity in a while once the pairing process has been done. You'll see that's very, very straightforward. So K chord turns it on, and similarly K chord turns it off. If I just do a K chord, I've done it, and the braille display is now fading and the EasyLink is shut down. So it's a very, very simple process. K chord is toggling the EasyLink between on and off. So I'll turn my EasyLink on once again. I'll just wait for it to come up and say EL12, which it has done now. And now we're ready to pair our iDevice with the EasyLink. Now, if you're using it exclusively with one iDevice, this is a process that you only need to do once, unless obviously something goes wrong with the Bluetooth pairing of your iDevice or the EasyLink. The rule of thumb, though, is that this isn't a process you have to keep doing and doing and doing, like some of those devices out there where the device keeps forgetting your iDevice. The EasyLink absolutely doesn't do that. Now, I'm going to be demonstrating the pairing process using an iPhone, but of course it doesn't matter what iDevice you're using, the process will be exactly the same. And I'm using iOS 7. Again, if for some reason you've not upgraded to iOS 7, the process in iOS 6 is basically going to be the same. Although, if for whatever reason you haven't upgraded to iOS 7, I would strongly recommend it, because the braille options within iOS 7 are far superior to those within earlier versions of Apple's operating system. So, I have my iPhone in my hand, and in order to do the pairing, we need to get into the voiceover section of the settings menu. Now, there are obviously numerous ways you can do this. If you're a Siri fan, you can just simply say open voiceover settings. But I'll do it the manual way from the home screen, just so we can be completely thorough about this. So let me just left click and see where I am.
FaceTime. Settings.
And there's the settings. So I'm going to double tap settings.
Settings.
Okay, and now I'm going to right flick until I get to general.
Airplane, wife, Bluetooth, mobile, personal, notification controls, do not, general, wallpaper, general.
There we go, button. And I'm going to double tap general.
General, settings, back button.
And now we're looking for accessibility.
General, about, software, Siri, spotlights, text size, accessibility, usage, accessibility.
There we are. I'm very, very good at going past it and going back to it again. Double tap accessibility.
Accessibility, general.
And now again, we're going to right flick until we get to voiceover.
Accessibility, vision, voiceover.
There we go. We'll double tap that.
Voiceover, accessibility.
And so now we're into the voiceover component of the accessibility settings menu. And we're going to right flick through here until we get to the braille element of these settings. Now, I know that's fairly near the bottom right of the screen, but if you're not familiar with this, these settings, let's just go through them anyway.
Voiceover, voiceover, voiceover. Tap once to select. Double tap to act. Swipe three. Voiceover. Speaking rate. Speaking rate. Speak hints. Use pitch change. Use sound effect. Use compact voice. Braille.
There we go. There's the braille button. So let's double tap that.
Braille. Voiceover. Back button.
And now again, we're gonna right flick until we actually get to the range of braille devices that are available to pair with.
Braille. Contracted braille.
And just while we go through the braille settings, I'll just talk a little bit about them. So the first one we see there is contracted braille. You can switch contracted braille on and off using that setting. However, if you're using the EasyLink, you can use a G chord, G in the space bar, which will also toggle contracted input and output simultaneously off on the fly. And there are some very good reasons for doing that, that again, in the next section and CD track we'll talk about. Right flick.
Automatic braille translation. Off.
Again, we can talk about automatic braille translation later.
8-dot braille. Off.
That's 8-dot braille.
Status cell. Off.
Status cells are off.
Equations use Nemeth code. Off. Show on screen keyboard. Off.
Again, you can toggle that on and off with a cord.
Braille translation. English unified. Button.
And then you can also select your braille translation table. I'm using UEB here. That's nothing to do with the EasyLink. This is all purely to do with VoiceOver. Now I'm going to right flick again.
Choose a braille device.
Heading. And there we go, choose a braille device, which is a heading. And so now, having seen the choose a braille device heading, we're going to right flick until we see the device that we want. The device that we want, however, is perhaps not called what you'd expect it to be. So let's just right flick.
Alva BC640, not paired, button.
And that is actually the device that we want. It's called Alva BC640, not EasyLink. Now, I appreciate that's illogical, but the reason it's called Alva BC640 is because that's the driver that we're using. So although it is the EasyLink product, we're using the Optelec driver. So whenever you're searching for the product, you're not searching for EasyLink, you're searching for Alva BC640. Let's double tap that.
Alva BC640, pairing.
Okay, so that's pairing.
Pin, secure.
Okay, so it's now asking me for a pin. And so I'm going to type in 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 2, 3, 4.
And now I'm going to press the pair button at the top of the screen.
Pin, secure, pin, secure, pin, pair, button. Rail.
And there we go. It's worked. And that noise you heard there was basically VoiceOver indicating that it had found the EasyLink and that the pairing process was successful. Now that made the pairing process sound very straightforward, and indeed it is. However, it can sometimes go wrong, and it can sometimes be cumbersome, and it can sometimes be frustrating. So the next little bit of dialogue is really designed to help you through situations where perhaps the pairing process doesn't work first time, and to help you troubleshoot that and get a successful solution. So the first thing that could possibly happen is that when you press the braille button and you go to the selected device, the iPhone isn't seeing the EasyLink. One of the probable causes for that is that the EasyLink may have gone to sleep, and if that has, it won't be visible to the iPhone. So always make sure, before you go into the scenario of pressing the braille button, that the EasyLink is actually turned on, and that on the braille display you're very clearly seeing it say EL12. The other thing that can cause problems with the two devices seeing each other is if for some reason Bluetooth is already turned on the phone, or if there is already another device paired to the phone via Bluetooth. Now, theoretically, that shouldn't matter, because obviously, theoretically, you can have multiple Bluetooth devices working with your iDevice at any one time. I do that all the time. However, but you're initially pairing the EasyLink, it's probably advisable to have the other devices that you regularly use with your iDevice via Bluetooth turned off, just to give it a fighting chance to work quickly and satisfactorily. The other thing that can sometimes go wrong is that you're not fast enough putting the pin in and then pressing the pair button. I'm actually not sure what the amount of time is. It's about 45 seconds, I think, but I can't be definitive about that. And in that situation, what will happen is you will either get a message from the iDevice telling you that pairing has taken too long, or you'll put the pin in and the pairing won't be successful. Again, if that happens, just repeat the process, bearing in mind that the pin is 1, 2, 3, 4. And then finally, if you keep trying and keep trying, and for some reason it's just not playing ball and the phone refuses to see the EasyLink after it's successfully seen it the first time, what you may have to do is turn everything off and turn it on again and just start the process from the beginning. So pairing it is a very straightforward process, should be a very straightforward process, but just like pairing any Bluetooth device, it can sometimes be a bit convoluted. And if things go wrong, just bear in mind the things that I've just been chatting about. Or, of course, if you hit trouble and you need to talk, just give me a call, send me an email, whatever, and I'm happy to do it with you over the phone if that's what you need me to do. So that's us successfully paired. That's the EasyLink successfully joined hands with the iPhone. Now what we'll talk about is establishing a connection with the EasyLink on the fly, so to speak. And this is actually one of the really beautiful things about the way the EasyLink and the iPhone work together, because getting it to very quickly connect on the fly is an absolute snap, providing you understand the order that you need to do things in. So right now, my EasyLink is turned off and my iPhone is locked. So first of all, in order to get the thing to talk to each other, I'm going to turn on the EasyLink by doing a K chord, and I'm waiting for it to come up and say EL12, which it will do momentarily, and it has done. Now, I'm going to grab my iPhone, and all I have to do, because it's already paired, is basically press the unlock screen button on the top right of the iPhone. So I've done that.
Unlock button.
And now, in a moment, you'll hear, I'm just going to right flick, there we go, to disconnect it, opposite way round. You basically press the lock screen on the iPhone.
Screen locked.
And then press the K chord on the EasyLink. The EasyLink switches off, and now, of course, you can use your iPhone completely independently of the EasyLink if you want to. And that's the beautiful logic of all this, that some of the time you may well want to use the iPhone without EasyLink connected. That's not a problem. Just basically don't turn the EasyLink on. Just unlock the screen of the iPhone with the EasyLink turned off and it'll be fine. So again, just repeat that process. I'm going to turn on the EasyLink. Just wait for it to come up and talk to me, which it has done. Now I'm going to press the unlock button on the phone.
1402.
And now I'm just going to right flick.
Friday the 18th, unlock.
There we go. It's paired. And I can see it unlock. Saying unlock. And now on the Braille display, I can basically see everything that I need to see. So getting the thing connected is really, really easy. And again, on the EasyLink, you get beeps. And you can also get feedback if you configure the EasyLink feedback correctly, which we'll come to next as we talk about the EasyLink menu structure. So, like all devices, the EasyLink has a menu. The menu on the EasyLink is relatively small, relatively straightforward, but it is useful to know about because there will sometimes be things that you'll want to change in there. So, to get into the menu of the EasyLink, what you do is you do a K chord to turn the EasyLink on, but then, instead of waiting for the EL12 message to come up, straight away, you press the space bar and the control key. That's the key to the right of the space bar. So let me do that. I'm going to do a K chord now. Then I'm going to press those two buttons, which I've held down. I've let them go. And now, straight away, I'm in the main menu of the EasyLink. And so the first menu item you see is the battery. And it says battery charge, and then it will show you the percentage. To navigate through the menu, you use the joystick, which we talked about when we discussed the physical layout of the EasyLink. And to get to the next menu item, you press the joystick down. And the next menu item is relating to the sleep time. This is the amount of time the EasyLink will stay turned on until it goes to sleep. I have mine set to 10 minutes, but we can change that by pressing the joystick in, and it's a sleep time 10 minutes. If I then press the joystick right, it increments to 15, then to 20, and then basically 25, then it increments to 30, 35, so it's going up in 5 second increments, up as far as 60. So you can have it set to 60 minutes if you want to. And then it'll should circle back round, which it so once it reaches 60, that's the rightmost point of the menu. And then to crank it down again, you take the joystick left, and you can do that very quickly multiple times, which I'm doing now. And I've now got it back very quickly to 10 minutes, which is where I like it. And then to save the value, you simply press the joystick in again, and you'll see the sleep come back with the increment that you set it to. Press the joystick down again, and you then reach the feedback options. And this is what I was talking about before. And this is actually really, really clever. So we're on the feedback options. Let's press the joystick in to go in there. And the various different feedback options we have are feedback off, feedback with beeps only, which is the default. Then we have feedback with vibration only. Then we have feedback with both beeps and vibration. Now, I find the vibration feedback tremendously useful. I wear two hearing aids and I'm as deaf as a post, and I can't hear those beeps for love nor money. And so for me, actually having the vibration feedback is really, really good. But for lots of other people who have got perfectly normal hearing and can hear the various different beeps that it gives, sometimes those beeps can be quite intrusive. Even though they're very high pitched, they can be quite intrusive. And again, you can change this on the fly and set the feedback relative to what you want at any particular time. So that is actually really, really good. And basically what happens with the vibrations is you get different types of vibrations, very long vibrations, very short vibrations, and you get the number of vibrations relative to the number of beeps that it would emit. So you can change that on the fly. I've taken it back to vibrate, and I'm going to press the joystick in. Then we come down to cursor delay. This is the amount of time that it will take between you pressing the touch-sensitive cursor routing button and the cursor actually appearing underneath your finger. And the default is 4 milliseconds, which I find absolutely fine. And I would suggest that you don't play around with that unless you end up in some application, some app, where cursor routing is just getting a bit clumsy and a bit cumbersome. And what you might want to do then is perhaps just increase it by a couple of milliseconds. But the default is 4 milliseconds, and my experience of using this for over a year now is that that just does the job very, very nicely. But again, play with that to your heart's content. Press the joystick to accept that, and then press the down arrow again. And you can then set the vibration intensity. So 50 is the default. Again, if that's vibrating too severely for you, you can press the joystick in on that and reduce it. Or indeed, if you want to increase it as much as works for you. Coming down one more, you then get into the various different test modes. There is a cell test mode, which will test all the braille cells. There's a key test mode. So if you're a bit concerned maybe that one of your keys isn't working properly, you can press the joystick in on key test mode. Then you can press any key on the device at all, and it will confirm whether or not it's receiving that key press or not. So if you do end up with a potential hardware problem, you've maybe got a bit of concern or something, then use that key test mode to at least establish that everything is working properly or otherwise. And again, give us a call anytime. The next test mode is the cursor test mode. Again, that will just do all the testing of all the cursors. Play around with that. And then finally, there's a Bluetooth test, which will just make sure the Bluetooth radio is working. Beneath that, as we continue to press the down arrow, you can see the firmware version. You don't need to go in there. That just simply shows you the version of firmware. And coming down one more time, there's an item in the menu called CBRD Run. Now, this relates to the clipboard of the EasyLink, which is described pretty well in the written user guide. So I won't go into this in too much detail. Suffice it to say that this does have a 500-character clipboard. And with the clipboard run turned on, what that enables you to do is press a key combination, write 500 characters into the EasyLink standalone without being connected to anything, and then you can, by pressing another key combination, transfer those 500 characters of data to wherever the cursor happens to be on your iDevice. So that's a really, really useful feature. But in order for that to work, you have to make sure that this option, CBRD run, is set to on, and that isn't the default. So if I just press the in button there, you basically obviously got on and off. And as I say, you want to make sure that's turned on if the clipboard is something that you want to use. The next menu item down is the protocol. Don't change that, because if you do, the cursor routing will stop working. And the protocol that you want to be set to is AlphaBC640. And down one more time, and you get the exit option, which basically takes you out of the menu and back to the front screen of the EasyLink. Now, the menus will cycle round. And so if you want to use this menu, which most people do primarily as a way of checking the battery status, you can go into the menu with a K cord and then the space bar and the right hand control key, jump in there, look at the battery status, then press the up joystick straight to exit, and then press the joystick in, and that will basically take you straight out of the menus. Then you get about a 5 second delay. I've just done it now, and it's now just come back up and said EL12. So on this track, long though it has been, we have talked about pairing the iPhone or iDevice to the EasyLink. We've talked about how to get it connected, and we've also walked you through the menu structure.